You are currently listening to The Mark Bishop Show, discussing life and business with people from all around the world. And now your host, Mark Bishop.
You know, they say it's hard to forgive after a tragic event. Some people will forgive easily, while others will look to seek revenge. Which one are you, a forgiver or someone who would seek revenge? I know it's easy to say forgive, but if your daughter was murdered, how do you think you would feel then? Would you seek revenge or would you offer forgiveness? My special guest is Dr. Buck Blodgett. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good to be on your show, Mark.
Your daughter, Jessie, was only 19 years of age when she was raped and murdered in her home by a friend, not a stranger, a friend. Now, Dr. Blodgett, you founded the Love-Hate Project after your daughter was murdered, correct?
Yes, I did.
Her death left you stunned, shocked, and filled with anguish, yet also inspired you to do all you could to prevent such horrors from happening to others. And since her death, you've worked to end violence and to educate, motivate, and inspire young minds to choose love over hate. You speak nationally in schools, conferences, and prisons. How is the reaction to you?
I've been amazed by the reaction. This issue resonates with so many. Jessie wasn't one in a million, Mark. She was one out of three of our girls and women will experience some form of sexual assault in their lifetime. One out of four, domestic violence. Boys, one out of six, sexual violence. One out of seven, domestic violence. 10 more of our girls and women will be killed today. 10 more Jessies today and tomorrow and every day until something changes in the United States alone. Everybody knows someone, whether we know it or not, and mostly we don't, because most victims, survivors, don't talk about what happened to them. And we really don't know the real numbers because of that. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's time to do something about it. It's unacceptable. It's 2019 now. This is the next biggest, toughest, and greatest social justice movement in my mind.
You are courageously creating an effort to end male violence against women by turning this tragedy into a mission that can help others. This is your goal, right?
Yes, it is. I'm trying. I'm one person, and I've been amazed at the impact, but it's going to take all of us.
Let me ask you this. Did you know this friend of Jessie's well?
We knew Dan well. Jessie knew Dan well. He was welcome in our home. He sat right next to Jessie every day in choir for 4 years of high school. They were first and second chair choir. They were in all the musicals, all the plays together, all the state solo ensemble competitions and the forensics meets. They were in the same theater arts family in high school. Knew each other well. They even dated. Freshman year, Dan was Jessie's first boyfriend for 3 months in ninth grade. And he broke up with her. So this was not breakup violence. This was something else. And 4 years after that, he killed her.
Dear, dear, dear. I mean, and no doubt you've visited him in prison too, right?
No, I've not visited him in prison. He's not eligible for the restorative justice program until he admits what he did and shows genuine remorse in the eyes of a panel.
When you've looked into his eyes and asked him, I mean, he must be terribly sorry, surely.
I don't know. I've only had one chance in 6 years and 13 days to see Dan and speak. And that was at sentencing. And we each had 10 minutes at sentencing. And I told him I forgave him and I meant it. And by the way, I'm sure about half your listeners probably think I'm nuts right now. And I want people to know that I'm not living in a dream world, that I will never excuse or accept what Dan did to Jessie, or what any violence that any human ever commits against any other human, or even an animal, especially if there's a power imbalance, like a 210-pound man surprising a 110-pound girl while she's sleeping. But that doesn't mean I can't forgive, and that doesn't mean I can't love. And I told him I love him too, and I meant that. I don't mean I like him. I don't mean I like what he did. But love comes from a higher place, in my opinion, and I choose mine to be unconditional because that's who I want to be in this world, and I believe that's what this world needs.
Well, I tend to agree with you, but it's amazing. Your book, Dr. Buck Blodgett's book, A Message from Jesse. How have you been distributing this book so far?
It's on Amazon.com.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's also word of mouth locally. I don't consider myself an author, and I'm not. It's not about selling the book, except that the book is the whole story of the first year, the chronology of what happened from the day it happened, and my journey, and our family's journey after that.
Right, right. It's more the message, and you know, you're right. It's not about the money. The money can be given away just about. I mean, you're a successful. You know, chiropractor, I'm trying to say that it's so much more the message that people and the goodness they can get out of this book. Did you feel at all that Jesse was talking to you when you were writing it?
I sure did. I believe I heard her voice over my shoulder and in my head and felt her presence many, many times. And I had about two dozen crazy, strange, beautiful, amazing things happen to me, my friends, Jesse's friends, and others in our community starting the morning after she was taken from us at the bottom of my driveway with a kind of an odd butterfly encounter. And then they progressed from there. Things I used to call signs, now I just call them answers to a desperate, broken, middle-of-the-night hotel room prayer the night after she was killed. But absolutely feel her presence. Did not believe in that 6 years and 15 days ago. Would have thought anybody who said what I'm saying now was, wishing, hopefully. But my worldview changed, and I realized I've been missing something for 53 years. Definitely feel Jesse's presence.
Now, the book on Amazon, Message from Jesse. The other important project, The Love-Hate Project. Interesting name. Tell us about that.
Oh, boy, I don't know where to start. We at her funeral, I said love is and always will be stronger than hate. A couple weeks later, I got a phone call from the fire chief, and long story short, 500 people in our town showed up at the mill pond and hiked for a couple hours, and the mayor talked, and there was a live choir and a live band, and everybody had on a blue wristband, and there was a big banner in the park pavilion, and the signs for 2 miles along our trail and the pavilion banner and the wristbands all said, love is greater than hate. Love in capital letters, greater than symbol, hate all small, as it should be. Brilliant. Whoever thought that up named a project. And I knew that day, after the community vigil was on the 10 o'clock news on all four news networks in Milwaukee, I saw the impact and I thought, oh my gosh, something just happened today. And I knew there was a legacy project being born and I was supposed to do something about it. And I believe all of us are supposed to do something about it because it's everywhere and it affects all of us.
Now, the site itself is www.ligth.org, correct?
That's right. That stands for Love is Greater Than Hate, LIGTH.org.
Ah, lovely. Love is greater than hate. Many people who suffer personal tragedies, you know, they just don't want to talk about it, Doctor, yet you not only went on to talk about it, you've turned it into a mission. I mean, it's people listening would think, God, this guy's got guts, you know. It's so sad, but you're trying. Well, if you could wave the magic wand, what would you want to come out of everything that's happened now?
Well, I would like to not have a reason to do this project, which if I had a really great magic wand, that would mean Jess was still here and I was playing with my young grandkids, which I'll now never have, and women all over this planet weren't being sexually and physically assaulted and controlled and dominated by men for whatever selfish, titillating sickness needs there are in us. That's what I do with a magic wand, but I don't have one. So instead I talk, and believe it or not, I'm shy, but haven't been able to shut me out for 6 years because this issue, this mission is just too big, and it calls to me. It's my new calling in life, and it calls so loud, and so does Jesse. And I believe my higher power that we have to do something about this.
Let me ask you this. Do you think lenient sentences contribute to the problem, making it seem that violence against women is not so consequential?
Let me answer that this way, Mark. I'm a chiropractor. I talk to my patients all day long. I had two patients last week who told me their stories. This happens to me all the time. Now, these two had a very similar story. They're older. Back in the 60s, both of them were beaten by their husbands many times, pretty badly, escalating like it always does.
Mm-hmm.
Both called police at one point because they feared for their lives. Both were basically told by the police, "I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do, it's a family matter," and turned back to the person that they feared for their life from and called the police. Now, we don't do that anymore. Police would never do that now. Things do change. We have come a long way. We still have a long way to go, but things do change. They are changing. But imagine the message to those two young women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a judge sentences a rapist to 6 months community service, what message are we sending to everybody, to all of us, to our daughters, about how important they are to us?
Yeah,
how little we understand.
Yeah,
the lifelong impact.
That's what sort of comes out of it, doesn't it? It makes it seem like nothing. Do you think something like that, though, is because there's so much doubt in the judge's mind, not game to give a stiffer sentence?
Well, you know, we see differences from judge to judge, don't we? So even judges, as trained as they're supposed to be in objectivity, clearly have their own history and thinking and mindset that they're bringing into each case. And we've seen many times in the national spotlight lately that, I don't want to generalize, always dangerous to generalize.
Yes.
Generally, the older guard doesn't get it yet. And I think that's just been played out. And so, but things do change. We have to change mindsets and have people recognize the lifelong impact on our daughters and our sisters of this and our spouses. And we can't not do something about it. We can't let somebody off easy because we feel badly for how it will. Dan made his choice. You know, I don't think Dan should ever get out. And I don't say that to be vengeful or because I'm gonna stick.
No.
But nobody could ever, no professional could guarantee he wouldn't do it to somebody again. And if you're not safe to be with us, there must be a penalty. We have to put you somewhere where you can't harm us.
But does he know what he did? Because of the intentions of the previous rape a few days before Jesse, did something trigger? Or was it planned?
Only he knows. But his computer search tells a lot. He was searching serial killers for a few months, and he searched them by number of kills first, and then the ones with the most, he searched their methods. And the attack on the woman in the park, which was completely different, a completely different MO than Jesse's, was modeled exactly after one serial killer that he searched, and then Jesse's attack was modeled exactly after another, and after a snuff film that he watched that morning, which the DA called his instructional video.
Ah, dear, oh dear. It must have been sickly for you and your wife, Joy, too, because you're not to know this person in your home, close to your daughter, and this is sort of there. But never mind. Look, how important is it for fathers to model behavior, do you think, of how to treat women? And for both parents to discuss with their sons how they should act towards women and girls? Because
it's critically important.
I think it is too.
We've got all kinds of data on this now, decades of data. We know
children
who grow up and witness sexual and physical violence in their home unit grow up to commit it themselves at a much higher rate than children who don't. And even in a peaceful home, Mark, in the same way that parents set the bar, set the expectation for grades, for curfew, for values, for work ethic, in the same way, whether it's conscious or unconscious, so do they set the expectation for how boys treat girls. In my generation, I'm going to be 60 on my next birthday, dads rarely talked with their sons directly about how a man treats his wife, how a man treats his daughters, how boys treat girls. And, you know, it's 2019 now. What conversation could be in today's world could be more important than that one?
Yeah. Well, one of your foundation's goals is not just to reduce violence against women, but to end it. So why do you think that's even possible, though, with the numbers you're talking about?
I think that's possible for two reasons. The first reason is because it's important to think it's possible, because I believe our actions flow from our beliefs, and if we don't think something's possible, our actions aren't going to be in a dance and in alignment with whatever it's going to take to make it possible. So that's number one. But number two, more importantly even, is the evidence. The evidence tells me it's possible. Since the 1994 Violence Against Women Act here in the United States, according to the U.S. Department of Justice, we have decreased, per capita, we've decreased sexual assault by over 50%. We've cut it in half. Domestic violence by 64%, almost to a third of what it used to be. Now, if you watch the news these days, it doesn't feel like that, doesn't seem like that, but those are the numbers. Mm-hmm. We've made great progress. You know, the first half of last century, there was no shelters for battered women to go to. Now there's one in every county in America. Things do change. They are changing. My mission, my question is, how do we throw gas on the fire? How do we accelerate the culture transformation? And how many more Jessies until we finish the job?
Now, it's interesting also, in the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned numbers, that statistics that proved guys too, and young men too, were copping violence from the opposite sex there.
Absolutely.
What is it, do you think, in our society? I mean, is it pressure? Is it, is there anything that points a finger at a given statistic that makes us the way we are?
So first of all, I'm a chiropractor. I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychiatrist. And I haven't worked in this field of violence for 30 years, but I'm a dad on a learning curve who needs to do something. Mm-hmm. But I do have some thoughts on that, and I think they're really good ones. I watched on Animal Planet last year, I watched about 100 male frogs want badly to breed with a female frog, and they swarmed her so much that they killed her. Now, I don't think any of us would call frogs monsters. You know, I think we'd say that's nature. Hmm. That's biology. And you know, it's not just frogs. You can see that all through the animal kingdom, and we are part of and connected to the animal kingdom. I think it's in our biology and our physiology and our biochemistry. I think it's in this violence thing. What we also have, though, is higher thought, higher consciousness, higher choice. So I'm not excusing it in any way. I'm not saying it's acceptable. I'm just saying what we're up against. I think it's wired into us, this breeding, this sex and violence is wired together in us, and some of us overcome it well and deal with it better, but some don't. That's my first big thought, and my second is just that it's a cultural thing, and it's been in, there's been a shroud of silence about it forever, and it's coming to the light of day for the first time in not only in my lifetime, but in human history. It's a white-hot national conversation. And culture is changing. But I think it's cultural and physiological.
You're listening to The Mark Bishop Show. I have as a special guest Dr. Buck Blodgett. His daughter, Jessie, was murdered, raped and murdered. And his book, available on Amazon.com, is A Message from Jessie. It's a beautiful book. It's not about making money here, guys, with this book. This is about a true message about our society and what we can try and do. Doctor, your mantra is, it's too late for Jessie, but not too late for millions of girls and women. My question is, how many more Jessies will there be before we get the job done?
Well, that's my question too, Mark, and nobody knows. Obviously, the more we can speed up culture change, this is why everyone matters. Everyone matters with this. Just a handful of people in a boardroom aren't going to get this done. A handful of good ideas. I mean, ideas matter, but we have to get everybody on board and reach a critical mass with culture transformation. We do that through messaging, especially with the next generation and in schools. I have no idea how many more Jessies there are going to be, but what I do know now is it's really, really personal for me, Jess tried to tell this. Ironically, this was her issue in life. She tried to tell me about it, and I listened, but I didn't get it till it hit my family.
Mm-hmm.
And now I do what I do so that others, so that your listeners get it before it hits their family, or if it already has, that I say something that speeds up the healing process and causes change.
Well, you know, we've talked with you a lot, and you're the dad, and they often say, you know, well, daughters are closer to dads than mums, but your wife, Joy, it must have been horrendous for her, too.
People told us from day one, people who were blessed to have to know a few people who've lost children, and they said the pain never goes away. And they were right so far. It's been 6 years and 13 days. And I'm convinced they will be right until life leaves this body and Joy's. Joy is, you know, she's in a crazy place. She's a mom with a lot of friends who are moms and have children, but now they go out and, you know, she got, like, Joy got, like, ejected from the mom club. She's not a mom anymore. She, all her friends, all they can talk about is their kids. That's what moms do, right?
Yeah, and, right.
And it's so painful for her to listen to other people talk about their kids, of course. And
mm-hmm.
It's nobody's fault. You know, she wants to hear them and be happy with them about their kids, and they don't want to hurt her. But, you know, it's a loss that can't be described, and it's a pain that can't be described unless you felt it.
Right. Well, you've been in the family chiropractic practice since 96. You're also founder of the Chiropractic and Wellness Group. Is your wife a chiropractor as well?
She was. She retired a year ago May. So
mm-hmm.
The two of us, I've been in practice now for going on 24 years, and she was a chiropractor for 23.
Right. All righty. Well, your book is titled, I wanted to sell a lot so it gets out there and gets a message out. And speaking of that, a message from Jesse. And it can be found on Amazon.com. It's written by Dr. Buck Blodgett, who personally, you know, felt the experience of losing a daughter through rape and murder, forgave the killer, believes in love more than hate, has formed the Love-Hate Project, which is about, hey, love is stronger and always will be than hate. My hat's off to you, Doctor. I think you're a marvelous man, and God bless, I can tell you now. And it's been, oh, well, let's promote the Love-Hate Project on the site again. Please give me that address again.
The website is LIGTH.org. That stands for Love is Greater Than Hate.org.
Okay, we can see that. Maybe you'll get West one day and we'll get to meet in person. Who knows?
Well, I would love to snowbird from Wisconsin down to where you are. My wife's got us pointed towards Florida right now, but I'm lobbying hard for Arizona, so we'll see what happens.
We don't have the same bugs as Florida.
Maybe I can look you up if we do come down.
Oh, please do. Please do. I'm easy to find. All right. Thank you, Doctor. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck, okay, with the future.
Thank you, Mark. I really do appreciate it. And would it be okay? Could we have a link to your show so we can share it on our social media?
Oh, my word. I'd plan to do that. So hang on. Don't hang up on me. And okay. I'll get the details, all right?
Thank you.
Stay there. Dr. Buck Blodgett, what a gentleman and a lovely soul. And I hope, you know, you got something out of that. And boy, talk about strength. I'm nearly in tears. And here he is doing what he's doing. I hope you enjoyed that.